There we go. Okay. Everyone behave. No more shit talking. Hello and welcome
We
once
only talk
again.
shit about you when you're not here, booms.
That's true. That's true. Right in the middle of my introduction.
Ting.
In the woods. And as always, I am your host, Boomer. And joining me is my wonderful and amazing co-host, who is snarky this afternoon, Gabby. Gabby, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I am not, by the way, Dice, lactating.
Oh God. I wasn't going to mention it. I
I
wasn't going
have
to
a
say
giant,
anything.
for those who can't see, I have a giant wet spot on my boob, but it's because I was cutting up a lasagna to like wrap up, and I flicked the spatula and a little bit of sauce got on my chest. So
Oh,
this
thank God you're not wearing white.
the little dot, yeah, but you know, like you put the, you know, you try to get the little dot off and it becomes a giant, like, you know,
Embarrassing
giant
stain, yeah.
wet spot. So it'll dry, I promise.
And if those of you who have not ascertained, we do have a very, very special guest, returning guest, family member of the show, some would say, Dice Roland. We are so happy to have you this afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing better, recovering from a head cold. Merry Christmas.
I think that there are lots of people that can relate to that. I don't know what it was. This was like the Christmas of shit. And not because it was, bad as far as, gifts or the holiday spirit or anything like that, but it just seems like a lot of people got sick this year. It was really weird.
Yeah, I guess it was my turn. Been a while since I've been properly sick, so.
I say that, and then like I find myself sick a lot, and Gabby's like, "No, you were sick this time and this time," and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I do bitch
Properly sick. I mean, I have my own stuff throughout the year, of course, but it's minor and I always brush it off. This was like properly, like, I can't breathe through my nose kind of thing, you know?
Yeah,
It's great.
that is the worst. Not being
That
able to
and
breathe through your nose.
I lost my sense of smell and taste. This is not like the big C, by the way, but I lost my sense of smell and taste, and those are two very important things to me. I'm like, okay, so how long does this last?
Yeah. I always find myself when I get so stuffed up that I lose taste and smell, I gain weight because I'm constantly like eating. Like, I just want to taste something. So I'll like
Give
eat
me something.
and I can't taste it. So in my head, I'm like, oh, I'll just eat some more. That'll be fine. And it's not.
It's kind of the
It's not.
opposite for me. I'm like, I can't taste anything. What's the point?
When I had COVID and I couldn't taste and smell, I was so drunk the entire time because I couldn't taste the alcohol.
Well, I mean,
Yeah.
that's one way to
But
get
that was
through
my
it.
only symptom. I actually didn't get sick. I just lost my taste and smell and I was fine. And it was in the beginning days when you had to stay home for 2 weeks. I was wasted.
It was just the opposite for me because, I mean, not that I don't enjoy the occasional overindulgence, but like when I got COVID,
Occasional.
the daily overindulgence, when I got COVID and lost that, I like the taste of whiskey. And so it just tasted like water to me. And I'm like, what's the point of this? And so I actually drank a lot less when I got COVID than I did most of the
Oh.
other time.
Not me. I'd fill a whole glass with my vodka and be like,
Yeah.
oh, that's great.
Every other day that ends in Y. Okay.
Oh.
All right, Dice. Well, before we hop into and I introduce the movie that we're going to talk about, which I'm so happy about because if those of you have not listened to the first episode that we did with Dice, we did a little thing called Demon Wind. Which is a movie.
It's a movie.
It
It's
is.
a
It's a
film.
movie. Has a runtime and everything. But it's not what you would call award-winning or anything. And this time we're bringing something a little bit different. So I was happy that we could talk about a good movie today. But before we do that, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Sweetly, you can find me over on my channel, Dice Rollin, of course, Rollen. Always confuses people. Over there, of course, I do a lot of horror stuff. just recently, and probably before I imagine this episode comes out, I will have finished my whole review of the Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise. So I think that's the first franchise I finished on my channel. I don't know what that says about me, but there we are. And then after that, who knows? Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff always coming, more episodes of my own podcast.
I love it. I love it. And I really enjoy that. That is the first franchise that you cover. There's all the heavy hitters out there, and DICE is like, you know what? There's a little
You know what?
franchise.
Fuck it. Let's do this. Killer Sam's? Why not? Come on. Who cares? Come on.
But as always, guys, all those links will be down in the description, and you owe it to yourself to check out all that DICE does. They put out some amazing, amazing content. It is always entertaining. I never fail to not be able to talk, but I also never fail to laugh and be entertained by everything that they do on their channel. So please check out all the wonderful things that they do.
Always
All
try to
right.
make some people laugh at the very least.
You got to add a little laughter to this world sometimes. We're
We
not
do our best.
I was about to say, I am not going to talk about Trump again this episode. We're not going to get into it. Why there should be laughter in this world.
I think
There
there's plenty of reasons. We'll put it that way. Plenty of
you go.
reasons. That's one.
People just need to have a good time sometimes. But all right, today we are
Wait, what
going.
about Trump? I don't get it.
Just.
I mean, he doesn't make me laugh. He scares the shit out of me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like
He's
he's a.
crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy. And so, whenever something
Sorry
like
to
that
any
happens,
listeners who happen to be Trumpers, fuck off.
I
Anyway, I don't know why you're
was
here, man.
gonna
What
say,
the fuck?
what are you
You're not
doing?
gonna want to
Listen to
come over
this
to my
one.
channel.
For the last two seasons, we've done a deep dive into Dracula. Like, what are you doing here?
Yep, you are confused, but hey, if you want to stay here, reevaluate.
Well, yeah, that is the thing. That is the thing. If you want to take a good hard look at yourself,
It's okay
that
to
would
grow. It's
ex
2024.
exactly. It's time to grow as people. All
Just
right.
get that out
Well,
of the way at the beginning. It's
yeah,
fine.
there we go. PSA for all you assholes. No. Okay. All right. Today we're going to talk about 1982's The Thing, a seminal classic in the horror genre. I love this film, and I mean, that's not saying much. I mean, who doesn't love this film? But we'll find out. We'll find out where everyone comes down upon this one. I don't want to give everything away. So,
Spoilers. I
exactly.
love that every time we do a movie like this, that you do the intro, like a movie that's like an absolute classic, like, and every single time you're like, everybody loves it. Well, let's wait and see because Gary hates everything.
Like, there is somebody on this episode
And I love that Dice is
that
over there like, wow.
sad. Listen, I'm too neutral for this. Please, I don't do confrontation.
Okay. Well, you know what? We are going to be on our best behavior today. We are not going to
Sorry,
chase.
guys. You invite me. What? We're good
Best
people, I
behavior. What?
promise.
We needed a mediator.
Poor choice on your part. I'm so sorry.
I
You're on
know.
my side.
It's true. That is true. And that would be
Dice and I are
fine with me.
besties. Sorry.
All right. Well, before we get into the movie or the plot of the movie, and I want to find out what everybody's first watch of this film is. I've got kind of an interesting one with this one. I say that every time, like, oh, I have an interesting one. But
You're special, we know.
yeah, I know. Okay.
Thank you, Dice. Thank you for me not having to be the one to kiss his ass.
Let's all listen to
Yes, we
boomers
are
bullshit again
so
one more time.
special. Oh my
We're all
God, well.
special in our own ways. My mom says I'm very special.
Everybody put your drinks down and listen to what Boomer has to say. Gabby, what was your first watch with the thing like?
Mine's a little bit of a long story, so I apologize in advance. I don't remember my first watch, but I want to tell you guys about my favorite watch. So this alien movies, monster movies, stuff like that, never really been my thing. I know I've seen this movie a few times. I know I've seen the entire movie probably 20 times just by watching bits and pieces of it. Speaking of COVID, when all the movie theaters were shut down and everything started reopening. I think it was 2021 when the movie theaters started reopening. My sister and I, we had a tradition for our birthdays every year. We would get mani-pedis and then we would take each other to a movie, and that was always our thing. And then she passed. But even after she passed, every year on February 19th, I go get a mani-pedi. I go to a movie, and that's kind of my thing to honor her every year on her birthday. So COVID came in 2020, but it didn't really like kick off until March, and her birthday's in February. So it was February 2021. The movie theaters were just reopening, but my local movie theater was only doing private rentals for up to 20 people in each theater. So you could rent a theater and then you got to pick which film you watched. And they had the new releases and then they had like classics. And my sister loved to laugh, but she did like horror, not like I did, but she was really into comedies, except when she took me to see Anchorman for my birthday one year. And I laughed so hard I fell out of my seat. And there were some boys that she was 6 years younger than me. There were some boys in the theater that she like went to school with, and she was so fucking mad at me and embarrassed because I was like guffawing, like I was laughing so hard. I was loud and I was like falling out of my seat. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I love that movie. But anyway, so I don't remember all of the picks for the classics, but there was Big Lebowski and The Thing. And I was like, I don't know if Paige ever saw Lebowski. And I love Big Lebowski, of course. Everybody who's seen it loves it. It's great. But I was like, I wonder if she would be mad if I saw The Thing. Because I kind of really want to see that. And I justified it in my head, like, well, I mean, she would want to see a movie that I would want to see too, right? She'd be into it, which I don't know that she would have been into this movie at all. I have a little bit of guilt about that, but I actually got to see what 20, 39 years after its release, I got to sit in a giant movie theater auditorium alone and watch The Thing on the big screen. And I had my sissy's picture on the seat next to me, and I had my popcorn, and I had the candy that I smuggled in from the dollar store, and I got to watch it, and it was really cool to see in the theater. And then I think last year they did like an anniversary re-release, didn't they?
It was 2022. They did the 40th year anniversary.
But I already did it. And I bet you only paid $12 for your ticket while I paid 99 plus tax.
I'll be over
But yeah, that's when I had money. I don't have money anymore. It's okay. I won't be doing that again anytime soon. But yeah, so that was my favorite, and that was probably the first time in years that I had sat and watched it from beginning to end.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love that story. And I'm so mad at myself because, well, there's nothing I could have done about it, but when the 40th year or 40 year anniversary edition came out and they re-released it on in certain theaters, I missed it because, like, in my area, it was only showing for one night and I had to work that night. And so I know.
Damn capitalism.
I know. What are you gonna do? So I missed it. So now I only have to wait another 9 years, and I can watch it again at some point in the theaters.
Maybe. I mean, they do odd like anniversary stuff every once in a while.
That's true. That's true. All right. How about you, Dice? What was your first watch like?
I can't honestly fully remember what my first watch was. I can tell you when it was, because thankfully I've got Letterboxd and I try to use that pretty religiously when it comes to marking down when I watch things, like it's gonna be really important. But apparently I watched it for the very first time. This is where people shoot me. June 24th, 2019.
No, okay.
No, well, hey, I wasn't an
I
80s
get
kid, what do you want?
it.
It's see, I
Absolutely.
got into horror a lot later than I'm sure a lot of other people did, but that kind of, I guess, according to some, adds a certain charm to my channel, so I'll take it. But I knew it was a classic.
Well, you're also young, aren't you?
I
You're
guess so.
like early 20s.
Oh, bless you.
Right?
Late 20s, technically.
Are you
But
serious?
yeah. Yep.
God damn, what is your skincare regime?
Staying out of the sun is a
Me
big one right there.
too.
Yes, and just, coming from all the really pale countries, that's where my ancestry comes from, you know. Some
Girl
seem to
preach.
think that I do something with blood. I don't know. We'll see. We like to let the rumors go, you know.
Wait, we're not supposed to bathe in the blood of virgins?
Well, apparently not, according to some, but if the Kardashians can
Well,
do it,
I
I don't know
never got that
why.
memo. What the fuck?
No one ever told me that. The rituals are working.
No.
No. But it's. I knew it was a classic. So there was a point, kind of in that time frame where I, probably actually a year or two before, where I gathered a bunch of horror movies from wherever I could. I kind of went a little nuts. This was the start of my collection, so I went a little nuts. And that was one that I grabbed. And it just so happened on that date is when I decided to watch it for the first time. And I couldn't tell you what the deal was. I watched it at home on a Blu-ray by myself and liked it, apparently, because I haven't changed my rating. I think I gave it 4 out of 5 so far, but I'm kind of a stickler with really high ratings, so don't shoot me for that. I just knew that I liked it. It was a very interesting idea to me, very isolating, of course. I've enjoyed Kurt Russell since before that film. I think I saw him as Santa Claus before I saw him as his character in The Thing, oddly enough, but it kind of works. And of course, my family likes Kurt Russell, so it was a must, clearly.
I
We can
really,
all kind of agree that Kurt Russell is a motherfucking dreamboat in this movie.
he's not unpleasant to look at. Of course, at the same time,
Those
he also
eyes.
looks kind of like my dad, so I gotta be careful about
Oh.
that. I'm gonna say yes, but also,
Yeah. We'll just say he's a very handsome man. We'll leave it at that. I have a very similar first watch experience with both of you. So apparently it's pretty it's pretty common. I watched this when I was really young, and I don't honestly remember when that I saw this, and I did. It was the same kind of thing. Like I really enjoyed the movie, but probably didn't appreciate it on any deeper level than, oh my goodness, look at the monsters, that kind of thing. And so I've watched it over the years, and I always wish though that I had come to this one later so that I could have taken in not only that first experience, like not knowing exactly what's going to happen, even though that everybody talks about this film, but that I could appreciate the themes of isolation and stuff that was in it, because I guarantee that when I was at that age that I completely missed it and just thought that this was a cool movie that had good effects. And so that was my first experience. But every experience after that, I have enjoyed the movie a little bit more. Like this movie, I started out like liking it, and the more that I watch it, the more that this film kind of grows on me. So I do enjoy it, but I hate that I couldn't have that first watch when I could actually appreciate the first watch.
Yeah.
This might fall a little bit into the category of horror for grown-ups, that when you're younger, you can definitely appreciate this movie is fucking scary. I mean, the fucking dog. You know, I mean, like that'll fuck anybody up. But as you get older and you kind of have a little bit more life experience, that was in the theater when I did the private rental. That was what got me the most, is that I was sitting in this giant room alone and I was supposed to be wearing a mask, but come on. I wasn't wearing a mask in a giant room by myself.
You were social distancing.
I was social distancing from my damn self. I mean, like, but that in the dark with the isolation, it really. And I think that as you get older, you kind of start to feel socially isolated, divorces happen, breakups happen when you are a little bit isolated. You're more affected by the seasons because you don't go out as an adult when it's cold or, when it's too hot or whatever, because your comfort level, so you kind of alienate yourself, but it's still that feeling of isolation. And I think that there's a lot of themes in this movie that can be appreciated more as an adult. There's a lot more layers to this than what you see as a child or as a young viewer or even a first-time viewer.
Yeah.
My opinion.
No,
I feel like that
that's
sauce
really
didn't
good.
come off.
It was a lie. It's just like toothpaste, it never goes away.
Gonna dive right into this IMDb and then we can start talking about this film. All right, so The Thing, of course, released in 1982. A research team in Antarctica is hunted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of its victims. This is starring, of course, the Beard and his Kurt Russell, Wilford Brimley, the Silver Tongue Keith David, and man, I love Keith David. That dude is magic.
He's so
Richard,
cool.
he is very cool. Mouser, T.K. Carter, David Cannon, Richard Dysent, Charles Hallahan, Peter Maloney, Donald Moffat, Joel Polis, Thomas G. Wales, and others. This was, of course, directed by John Carpenter, and like I said, is now wasn't a big success at the time, but now is rated as one of the best horror films of all time by many, many people. And so this is the first question that I wanted to put forth to you, and we'll start with Dice first this time. Would The Thing, and you don't have to name the ones that would, but just spitballing here. Would The Thing be on your Mount Rushmore of horror?
I see. I've heard a lot of people talk about Mount Rushmore, and oddly enough, for some reason, nobody's ever really asked me about that. So, I have some very odd taste in horror. But just going with what's really important in horror movies, possibly so. That'd be a very odd looking part of Mount Rushmore, I'm sure, but possibly so, yeah.
Mount Rushmore's mutant side piece right there.
Let's
There's
go
a
visit Mount Rushmore.
yeah. There's like a like you know a mask there. You know there's the knife. There's the girl with the hair in front of her face, and then it's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, what movie is that from? Tell me what it is so I can never watch it.
Right, Gabby, what about you? Is this in your Mount Rushmore of horror?
Now, don't really give a lot of thought to my Mount Rushmore. I mean, like I would have to think about it like for a while, exactly who I would put on my Mount Rushmore. I don't know. I guess. Yeah, whatever. I mean, like, do we only get four things on our Mount? Isn't there only four people on Mount Rushmore?
Yes,
Oh,
you
so do we only
usually—that's
get
going back to
four
my
movies
history
on our Mount
training. Oh no,
Rushmore? Most of the time.
I think there's four. Can you guys name who's on Mount Rushmore?
Oh, let's see if we can do this. Okay, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and the other one—some
A powdered wig or something. I don't know.
old guy,
Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, of course.
Jefferson, you booms.
I'm an American. I don't know my history. What do you mean?
So I don't know. I mean, like, if I can only pick four things for my Mount Rushmore, I mean, I have to really think about it. And I think I'm with Dice. I think that my tastes are a little bit, because like if you're thinking about like, okay, if you're doing like a broad Mount Rushmore of horror and you're doing the most like universally important horror films, I mean, I guess this would be on there. But like if you're doing your own personal Mount Rushmore, no.
Oh, mine would look
Like,
fucked.
I mean, one of my people would be Angela from Sleepaway Camp.
With the face and everything, it's the iconic
And the
face. That,
penis, yeah. Like
well, of course,
I would like, yeah, I mean like
of course, the
when it
penis.
comes to movies that have affected the hell out of me, Sleepaway Camp was the first twist ending I ever saw, and it was just like, I love a twist ending because of Sleepaway Camp. So Yeah, I don't. My personal Mount Rushmore, no, but I know that we've established that definitely The Exorcist, as far as doing like a broad importance, I do believe that that should be on there. So I don't know, I guess. Sure. What about
It's
you?
so for me, this one falls just right outside of that, both in my personal tastes and I think in the importance of horror. Like if you were and you can't, I don't think that you can have a Mount Rushmore without having a Carpenter film. But for me, that would be Halloween, even though
For sure.
I prefer this film over Halloween. Like I do, but I think that you have to kind of put Halloween on that Mount Rushmore. I agree with you. I think, The Exorcist has to be on there. Ringu is one that's on there for me. Just because that really, even though there were Asian horror films before that one really cemented that in everyone's zeitgeist that Asian horror is here to stay. And you really need to pay attention
And it's better than ours.
to what they're doing. Yeah. No, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And so, I mean, and as far as that fourth one, the fourth one is always, oh, that's always hard for me to pick. But I would have to say something like, and I would have to go like old school because it kind of opened the door for a lot of things. But I would have to say, even though it's not even in my top 20 favorite films, I would have to say Dracula. For the fourth one in that Mount Rushmore of horror.
I would say if we were doing like just like a universal, it would be Dracula, or Frankenstein's monster, a zombie, and Reagan.
Okay. You're just gonna take all of the old all of the old
Well,
ones,
because
huh?
think about it, how many Dracula movies have there been?
Yeah.
How influential was Frankenstein on so many filmmakers nowadays? Maybe not so much like film viewers, and I don't think that they've made a ton of Frankenstein movies. I mean, what, Frankenhooker, and like they've made,
That
but
is
there are a lot
one,
of
yeah.
like reanimation films that, of course, are, inspired by Frankenstein. Zombies, obviously, that's
Yep.
a whole its own subgenre. And how many possession movies and exorcism movies have been made since The Exorcist? I mean, like
Definitely.
as far as like influence, I think probably. Maybe people are screaming at their phones right now
Yeah.
because I'm so wrong, but
No.
I
No.
mean,
Several
I think that we
comments
should
after the
do like
fact.
a March Madness like bracket
Okay. Yeah, that thing that's
for the Mount
a battle
Rushmore of
royale.
horror. Yeah. Booms, we're done. Can we play that, please? That would be so much fun, and I really want to do it. Please,
Okay.
please,
All right.
please.
We'll start working on that. That would be fun. But yeah, I mean, how could I leave out Romero? I mean, when you're talking about horror, there's so much. It's hard. But then that's why I say that the thing would fall probably right out. Outside of that, probably maybe somewhere in the top 10, but
It'll
I
have its
don't
own little gift shop over there. It's okay.
exactly. It's the weirdo in the corner, just like we talked about. So,
The thing
like,
would be your tour guide.
yeah, there,
Ah,
yeah,
ooh,
the quirky
wait.
tour guide.
Yeah. Just like tentacles shooting out of its face. Yeah.
I
Follow
mean,
me. No, I don't think so.
you wouldn't be bored. I'll say that right now.
Learn a lot real quick.
One of the things that I really love about this film, there are films that are slow burns. You have all kinds of things, but this one like throws you almost instantly, like right into the action, where you get the flyover and they're trying to kill the dog, and it's like not very much longer after that than like the shit begins to hit the fan in this film, and I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate all of like the different discussions that brings about, because obviously like one of the main things that everybody always talks about is who was like the first person to be the thing.
The
And
efficient zero.
yeah, exactly. Is that something like that when you're watching this film, and I'm sure all each of us have seen it, if not a few times, we've at least seen it a couple of times. Is that something that you guys like look for? Is that something that you try to figure out now upon subsequent watches? And I'll take this one first since I've just like threw that at you like, ah, what, what But
Deep introspective thought.
for me, like, I really don't care, honestly. Like, it's not something that I've ever that's not a way that I've ever approached the film, like trying to figure out. This is one of those ones that I just kind of like let wash over me and just kind of enjoy it as an experience. But like, what about you, Dice? Do you sit there and like try to see if you could figure out who the shadow is on the wall and all
Oh
that?
God. Well, sometimes, yeah. I have, just like you said, it's one of those films that I think it's like Les, you can't have just one viewing. So over time, first initial watch, you're not gonna get me to grasp a whole lot. I'm just taking it in initially. So some number of times afterwards, I've been like, okay, I understand that this is a big thing that everybody discusses. Let me see if I can't pick up on some things. So yeah, I have watched it and been like, all right, who was the first asshole to get this? And then at the end, you have the other very
Yes.
important discussion of like, okay, so are either one of them infected or? So I've tried to figure that out. I think first person to get infected, that's a little bit easier to figure out possibly than if one of our two remaining final boys, if you will, were infected. So, I'm very analytical. Of course, I'm going to be analyzing everything.
Awesome. I love that. I love how like everybody has their kind of like own approach to the way that they view film, because I don't like, I'm not analytical in that way. I'm analytical in like different ways, but like not to that extent to where I'm trying to piece the puzzle together. It's more like an appreciation of what is it's happening. That's kind of like where my thought process goes. What about you, Gabby? Do you ever try to like sit there and figure out the mystery of who's who?
Well, I mean, am I being base? I thought that you knew who was. Wouldn't it have been the guy that took care of the dogs? Because the dog was the one that the Norwegians were trying to kill, and he took the dog in.
I thought it was the guy who. There's a scene where the dog is there. They've already had the dog brought in, so to speak. They've killed the remaining Norwegian guys who were going after it, and everybody's just kind of chill. And there's three or four, I think, of the guys who are playing like poker or something. And one guy goes, ow! And the dog had gone underneath the table and I guess bit him, is my assumption. I always thought it was that guy. I could be
Okay.
wrong. I could be totally wrong. But that's
We
what
could
I
very well
told.
be overanalyzing this.
Well, no, I mean
True,
that's really good
true.
because I've never
No,
picked
I'm
up on
saying me and
that.
Boomer, I think that she, I think Dice has it figured out. I don't,
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know
Like
why we're. But no, I never thought about it. Who cares?
Who gives a shit?
that's
These guys are gonna die
So
anyway.
I honestly, I mean, like I'm not insulting your question, Booms. I'm just saying, like, I never thought about that. That everybody's gonna fucking die.
No, that's fine. I
I'm just
was,
trying to figure out how it's gonna happen.
yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you. I was, I'm kind of along those same lines as you. Is like I never really thought about it, and I never picked up on that the poker scene where the guy says like, "How? Oh, like this is all brand new information to me. Like now I kind of want to go back and watch this tonight." That's really cool. But yeah, I've never really thought about that. And you mentioned like the ending. So we'll hop right in here. We're gonna go all over the place. And we'll start
Obviously,
with
spoilers, everyone.
spoiler alert. Yeah, we're gonna spoil the heck out of this movie. Gabby, what do you have a theory on the ending of the film? Who's infected? Are they both infected? Are neither infected? Like, do you have a theory on the ending of this film?
They're not infected by the thing. They're both still dead.
Yeah.
Hypothermia. Hey.
Hypothermia, murder, suicide. I mean, the whether or not they're infected to me has never mattered. Who's infected and who has it, and do both of them have it? To me, that never mattered. What mattered to me was how this movie can leave you at that level of terror. Because those are the two characters for me personally that I actually, other than Wilford Brimley, who it's Wilford fucking Brimley. I mean, of course you care about him. He's Wilford Brimley. He was America's
Diabetes.
grandpa. Yeah. He's trying to beat us. I mean, the guy, we loved him. But
Big
like,
bowl of oatmeal.
cream of wheat. He liked cream of wheat. He was just a sweet old man with diabetes who ate oatmeal and he was sweet. But like, those were the two characters that I, you know, and A, they were the two actors that I recognized more than everybody else. And also, they were the two characters that I think had the most arc and the most development, like the most exposition. Like we knew a little bit more about them. And they were kind of the main characters. So to me, by that final scene, it's not about which one of them is infected. It's about who's going to kill who and then kill himself for feeling bad that he did that. And B, he's going to kill himself because he knows he's going to fucking die anyway. And that's so sad to me. It's so sad that the two that fought the hardest are the ones that are fighting each other now. And it's that feeling of like, well, what would you do in that situation? And then that freaks you out because you're like, could I do this? Would I have even survived this point? Like, you know,
Well,
like,
I have a great answer for that, which is I wouldn't be in an Antarctica anyway. No.
preach. Yeah, no. Yeah, no. No. But like, yeah, that it's just, I never thought about it because I was just scared.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm kind of along similar lines that again that you are. So I kind of always just accepted this, and maybe I'm wrong, and I cannot wait for Dice to tell me that I'm wrong here in just a little bit.
You throwing dice under the bus? What did Dice do to you?
I thought
I'm
I was going to
giving
be a
Yeah.
mediator. What?
I am giving them
Dice,
credit.
next time we have you on, we'll make sure that Boomer has to work or something. Okay, I just need you.
The host is not here today. No.
We don't need me
Right, the
mucking it
old man
up.
host. Well, he's
Exactly.
like the mean Wilford Brimley.
I mean, Wilford. And well, and by the way, thank you for saying Wilford Brimley, because when I was going through the IMDb, he's not listed in one of the top ones, and I'm like, what's his name? What's his name? What's his name? What's his name?
Michelle.
What's his name?
The man with the mustache.
Yeah.
Wait, is it Brimley or Brum? I've always called him Wilford Brumley. Is it Brimley or
I don't know.
Brumley?
That may
Brumley?
be my accent. That's just the way I say it.
Wilford. I've always said Wilford Brumley.
Oh,
I could
okay.
be wrong.
I don't know.
Someone from the South will probably let us know that we're doing it horrendously wrong.
I will hopefully, well, at least that you pointed me to the actor, because I could not remember his name and I felt so stupid. But
I
you
mean,
nailed.
there's an I in there, Brimley. That's
Oh,
what
okay,
I'm
so it's
gonna go
Brimley.
Yeah.
with. Oh. Oh. I'm sorry, Wilford Brimley.
It's fine. All right. But
He's
I'm
in his
kind of.
own little section of paradise right now, like,
Yeah, he's shaking his oatmeal spoon at you.
Haunted by the ghost of Wilford Brimley. I'm
You're
so
gonna get
sorry.
diabetes next, Gabby.
But I'm kind of along those same lines that you are. Like, to me, in like just my own headcanon, I don't believe that either one of them were infected. And I know that Keith David had disappeared for a while, and then he just kind of reappears at the very end. So it's very possible. But like, and you know, there are certain things. What's in the whiskey bottle? Can you see his breath? Can you not see his breath? That kind of stuff. But like, to me, just the way that I want to think about it, neither one of them are infected, but I love a dark ending in horror. And I love the fact that it's just these two guys, and they're celebrating what little victory that they have before they end up dying. And so I really love like just that nihilism in the last few moments of this film. And that's kind of the way that I interpret it. And I know that there's like also a video game adaptation of this, and in that MacReady survives, and people, you know, and that is technically supposed to be canon. And so MacReady survives somehow. That does not, I don't care. Like, video games have no relation to what my theories and how this film is supposed to go.
What video game did it come out on? Atari?
No, it's at like PlayStation, so it's like PS1 or
Oh, it's like
PlayStation.
newer?
Yeah, newish. Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, we can rent it
I
sometime.
bought a PlayStation once to play Silent Hill. I played for like 2 minutes and then I never played it again.
it's nowhere. It's somewhere that you have no idea
I'm
where it is.
sure it's in my ex-husband's attic somewhere, unless he sold it.
All right, what about you, Dice? Like, where do you come down on like the meaning or what happens in the end of this film?
Oh, so that's very interesting because I really do. I must preface this by saying that, you know, what I said earlier about who was probably, shall we say, patient zero or whatever. I think John Carpenter made this in such a way to where it's entirely up to each individual person's interpretation all the way through. I have heard from Carpenter indirectly in an interview. I don't speak to him, unfortunately, but that
I heard he's kind of a
he
dick. I think you're good.
I don't know. He seems like an old hippie grandpa. I don't know. But he said that through watching the film, you can figure out what happened to who. But I think that would take a lot of time. A lot of time. So I've watched the movie through a few different lenses, according to what I was trying to get out of it. So the ending is one that I've always been very uncertain about, I have to say, because yeah, one element makes it seem like, well, Childs is probably infected. So is he going to just kill MacReady, or is he going to assimilate MacReady through the whiskey bottle? Is it somewhere else that he's going to try to do this? Is he not in fact infected? Is it MacReady instead, or is it neither of them? There's a lot of different ways that you could read into it. So I always take it as I'm going to let it be what it is for someone else, and I'm just going to say, okay, that's how it ended. And like Gabby, yeah, they're dead. Regardless, they're both probably dead, unless they're both infected, in which they'll just be frozen, I guess.
No, that yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And I think, yeah, we're all kind of coming at that like basically the same kind of thing. It's like, at the end of the day, does it really matter? And regardless of like what your interpretation is, it really doesn't take away from the film at all. I mean, it's still powerful and it's still really, really good.
Well, I just did a quick Google search because I remember, Dice, I do remember when Carpenter was talking about that. One of them is infected.
Okay.
It's here's his
All right.
quote. Yes, I know who's the thing and who's not in the very end. He adds, he's the only person who knows the real answer. Will he share it? Quote, nope, cannot tell you. Sorry, end quote. You're the
Well,
equivalent to the burger posted on Sex and the City.
I was about to say, he does say like he knows who's the thing, so maybe nobody's the thing. He knows that nobody is. I just want to think
Sure.
about
Yeah,
that way.
booze. I'm proud of you.
Exactly. Yes, Maestro John Carpenter, you're wrong and I am
Well,
correct.
this wouldn't be the first, or I'm sure the last time that a fan has told the creator, you're wrong.
Yeah, I have no leg to stand on for that. He's a genius.
He's
All
doing
right.
something right. I'm gonna stay over here.
I always mess this up, but I'm going to do this correctly this time because we always talk about a film, and then after talking about the film for 20, 30 minutes, I'm like, "What's your favorite scene?" And we're like, "Well, we've already talked about my favorite scene." And so I'm going to do it right this time. Like before we get into like any more, we kind of discussed our interpretations of some things, but we'll come to you first, Dice. What is your favorite scene in The Thing?
There's a lot of really memorable scenes in this film. And I think depending on what angle you're going with when you're watching it, it might change what your favorite scene would be. I'm sure that a majority of people's answer would be, well, when the thing's first revealed in the dog pen, which is fine. That's a fantastic display of so many different practical effects and like the first huge shock for people who are watching the movie. But interestingly enough, I kind of like the blood test scene because
Oh,
I
the
think that's,
tension.
yeah, the tension is very much there. Nobody trusts anybody. They've just tried to kill MacReady, and he said, fuck y'all, we're gonna sit down, we're gonna do this right now, and we're gonna figure it out. And that's, of course, where more shit hits the fan in very close proximity with flamethrowers.
Yeah. I mean, when you have a flamethrower, people are going to listen to what you have to say.
Do you think so?
It makes conversation a little bit easier. All right, Gabby, what about you? What's your favorite scene in the film?
Know if I have one. I think this whole it's a Carpenter film. And when Carpenter does things correctly, I think that everything kind of just flows so well that I don't know that I can really like pick out one and be like, oh yeah, no, that's my favorite part. Like it all works together very well. And again, I'm not an alien film person. I don't like alien movies. I don't like monster movies. I've never super analyzed this movie. I kind of want to now.
There's a
But
lot. There's a
yeah.
lot.
Yeah, I mean, like I've picked up on a lot. But what are you looking at?
My notes.
You look like Mount Rushmore. Like I did you notice that dice? He's like this. Ooh,
The
such risk, yes.
yes.
It was really
Side
weird.
profile, yes.
Are you the
Wouldn't you
thing?
like to know?
But yeah, I don't know that I have a favorite scene. I just think that this movie, it maybe when they go to the other base.
The
The
Norwegian base.
confusion. Yeah, the Norwegian base. I think I like that they're just like because I think anybody would have that same, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the hell happened here?
Yeah, I do like that. That's very much I feel like I would, although I would probably be stomping. Because I'm a brat, so I would, but I feel like there, yeah, if I had to pick one, I would probably say when they're at the Norwegian base, but I would, if it were me and Rick, I'd just be like, what the fuck is happening? I'm tired
Yeah.
and cold. I just want to leave. We don't even
Listen,
know
I didn't
anything.
even
It's
want to
not
be
teaching us.
here.
We're not even figuring anything out. Can we just go? Yeah, that would be me. Yeah, I just want to go back. The stocks are cute.
We turn up the heat in the helicopter, please?
Yeah, I'm cold and I'm tired and I'm hungry and I need a drink and I just want to go. It's fucking happy hour. Let's go. Like that would be me. That's why I would never be in a horror movie.
Or in a research station in Antarctica where it sucks
Could
all
you
the time.
imagine me in a fucking research station in Antarctica?
Yeah, hey, I'm gonna have to leave, go to Antarctica. Cool. Who are you? Why?
Yeah,
Who's
she's
at
obviously
the base? Yeah, who's at the base
the
right now to make you go? I'm going. What? Unlimited vodka supply, perhaps. I don't.
For that, cheers, Dice. Yes, I would go for that.
I think for me, and
I
I
don't hide
do,
who I am.
yeah, it's hard to sometimes.
A certain age, you just say, hey. This
it.
really didn't go away, though, you guys. I'm really upset. I really love this talk, but.
If it makes it any better, it really doesn't show very much on my
No,
end, too.
it doesn't. And I do like that opening scene with when they go to the Norwegian base because I'm kind of a sucker for mystery and exposition when it's done well. And so I do dig that scene. But I'm gonna have to piggyback on Dice's pick here. And I thought surely somebody was gonna go with the dog scene and I would be safe. But my favorite scene is also when they're doing the blood test. And it's for like a slightly different reason because yes, I love the tension in that particular scene. But I think that it also, in what this film does really well in a way, is like some very dark comedy. And so when they're doing
Yeah.
that, it's almost like the punchline of a joke where they're going down, through there and there's nothing happening, nothing happening, nothing happening. And then it almost like lulls you to sleep. And then all of a sudden, like the little, they, he dips it down, the little thing pops up, and it's not only like scary, but it's almost kind of like funny in a way.
Yeah, like a tension relief. kind of thing, just like any decent jump scare would be. And of course, I, at this point now, whenever I'm able, which is very rarely, shockingly enough, try to quote that memorable bit from that scene, which I'm sure I will slaughter in this paraphrasing, but you get the idea. Gentlemen, I understand that you're under a great deal of pressure. You've been through a lot, but if you wouldn't mind, I wouldn't want to be spending the rest of this winter tied to this fucking couch.
It's so good.
It's like the
That
one
was good.
calm and eloquent guy has lost his shit. He's had enough.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, and that really bookends it like so well. Because yeah, like there's so much that goes into that. I mean, you have the blood scene, like I was talking about, and then you have that release of tension, but then it racks it ratchets it right back up because the guy starts to turn in the middle of everyone. And I mean, yeah, like it, but then you, yeah, again, like then they bookend it with that joke, and it's really, really expertly done.
It makes it feel very real, too. Just that little, you would think, well, who the fuck is making a joke? Even though it's not really a joke. But who's throwing humor like that in a situation? Any sensible human being who is literally grasping at straws with their sense of humanity here.
I mean, there are times, and then they say, there are times that you have to laugh so you don't cry. And I mean,
This is ridiculous. Fucking.
Literally every minute of every day of my entire life.
All right, so transition out of
About
that
dark. This is a call for help.
Yeah, everybody, look at me. Look, you made Boomer dance. Okay, now that I've cut the tension, we know how to do this. I swear to God.
Professionals.
Super
Yes.
professional.
It's totally fine.
All right. So we talked about our favorite scenes, but let's talk about our favorite practical effects in this film, because this is a practical effects forward film. So
It's all, isn't it?
yes, absolutely.
I was going to bring this up later. I'm glad that you did.
Okay, good, good,
Yeah.
good. All right, so we'll start with you, Gabby. Where do you come down on this? What is your favorite practical effect in the movie?
When he puts his hands in
The chest cavity.
the chest cavity, and then just shit just happens, and you're just like, what? Like, it's just, yeah. Like, there's no reaction, but like, what the fuck? I
Yeah,
mean,
stunned into silence.
and when you think about the fact that it's practical, it's just, this is genius.
Yeah, just hungry hippos, his arms there. It's so good.
They went somewhere that had a giant hungry hippos.
Well, that's wild.
It was like a kid's play place, and you sit on a like on a little it's like a little springy bouncy chair, and you bounce, and it makes your guy's mouth open, and the kids jump up on the thing, and then it, yeah.
And then it eats the children.
No, it eats the balls.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the
The
wrong movie.
children's
That's FNAF. Different movie, different movie.
Okay. At the risk of having mine taken again, what's your favorite what's your favorite dice?
Well, I have a feeling that this will probably, I could be wrong, but it could be a collective consciousness on this. But once again, aside from the dog situation, it would be the attempted resuscitation scene, just all of it. Because I forget his name at the moment, the character name anyway, but he collapses. And of course, he. As the audience, first time around, as well as everybody else at the base, you're thinking, oh shit, heart attack. Reasonable response, but now we gotta deal with that. And they try to resuscitate him. Chest cavity opens up, grabs the guy's arms, and it gets even worse from there to the point where we have this. I think they said it was an RC that they built his spider head. Like effect onto, and Maybe I just like the scenes where we get a memorable quote where they turn around. As the audience, you're like, are they gonna see this? This thing's scurrying away. Are they gonna see this? And when they do turn around, they have once again one of the most human responses in that moment, which is, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then you set it on fire.
Yeah, that's and it's so perfect too. That scene, it's first of all, I mean, it mind blown at the very beginning of that because yes, you don't expect that, and then yeah, you get that little bit with the spider, but then and you get to laugh a little bit, but also like you're still kind of like, are they gonna do something about this thing? And then they roast it, and you're like, okay, all right, thank God.
Thank God.
Because I don't want to see that scurrying around anymore for the rest of the movie. That
You
is
just hear a little like,
spider.
nope, nope. I do have
No.
to say that that effect, obviously, there's a lot of reproductions and artist interpretations with sculptures of their own where they've made that. Years before I first watched the thing, I knew about that head. I knew about, even before it was the spider head, but almost like the torso, I don't know what you would call it, but the head connected with other things that was plastered up on the fucking vent. I was aware of that, and it creeped me the fuck out. I didn't know what movie it came from, what its purpose was, but every time I saw something like that, I was like, ew, what the hell is that? We're not gonna get that, right?
Would
We're not.
you guys say that this is one of the creepiest monsters or aliens or whatever the fuck we're gonna call the thing
It's
that
very
you've ever
unsettling.
seen?
It's very unsettling. I don't know if it would be, for me, the creepiest, but once again, I'm very difficult in a way to thoroughly creep out. But it's
Yeah.
gotta be on the list. It has to be on the list, at least for, just like I said, my childhood perception of it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one like really hits home for me. And Gabby, you know this, like so, and I've said it a couple of times on the show, but like one of my biggest fears ever is losing control of myself. And so whether that's like through,
Shitting his pants.
yeah, just
That's
taking,
one form.
yeah, just being at an estate dinner somewhere and finally making it to the top and then just crapping all over the place. It's just
He
it's
never eats
horrifying.
anywhere fancy.
It's horrifying.
Well, why not? I've seen several politicians do something like that. It's fine.
No, it's okay. You can survive that. But no, like so losing control of myself, whether that's through like mental illness or something like that, like that's why Get Out is so effective for me. And this is so, even though like at its kind of at its most basic that this is an alien monster type flick, it's still like about that you are taken over by this creature and that it assimilates you into like the whole and that you are no longer you anymore.
Yeah,
And
you don't have the
so
individuality.
exactly. And so it's just
Yeah.
so it's so terrifying. And so yes, for me, this is one probably the creepiest like monster entity type movie like this. Like there are a few others that are effective in their own type of ways. But as far as like what really scares me, this one does it for me.
And actually, on that subject, before I forget, because I have a couple of times, haha, ADHD is fun. But you mentioned the assimilation. There is something that I have heard, and I don't know if someone will know. I'm sure someone will know. I think it's a book that someone wrote from the perspective of the creature. And it goes through all the events of
Ooh.
the movie. Here's what's really interesting. And this is another way to watch the movie again from a different perspective. The alien, of course, does not see itself as the enemy or the bad guy. What it's trying to do is to help these people who are here by assimilating it, because in its world, that's how you bring a community together and protect it.
He's just a nice, wonderful host. I mean, that's all it is.
Yes. Just, trying to bring togetherness to everybody.
It's like a gooey Santa Claus. What about you, Gabby? Like I know that like usually like monster type stuff is, and you've said that is not your forte, but where is this the creepiest form of that? Because I know that you enjoy the film, so where do you come down on that?
Up there. It's really hard because I don't watch a lot of these, so the ones that I have chosen to watch have been ones that I knew would creep me out. I'm not watching dumb monster shit.
Oh, you
I don't
don't
have
want to watch the
time.
four-headed shark movie that's come
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Shockingly,
No, I,
pass.
yeah, no, I, this, I think that this aliens, the alien series, or the alien franchise, I think this, Cloverfield. So yeah, I would say that it's one of this monster movie, but you know this because we watch a lot of movies that we don't watch for the show. We just watch movies together, and when you pick a monster movie, I 9 times out of 10 try to find an excuse to not have to watch
Damn, it's not on my streaming service over here. Shit.
that. Like, what are you
My
talking about?
internet went down. What do you
Yeah.
mean? My Wi-Fi router broke.
That's the first
Yeah.
recommended horror movie on Shudder. No, it's not here. I don't know what to tell you. Well, just to be like I said, just to give a basic bitch answer here, my favorite is the dog scene. And it won because it is so emotionally visceral. In the moment. And like kind of you touched on Dice, like it's the first time that you get introduced to just what the capabilities of this entity is. And it's gnarly as hell. Whenever you get the I think it was like stop motion when like the skin peels back and it's that disgusting head of the dog, and then all the tentacles start coming out, and it has that weird sound. It's just all of it together. I mean, like even talking about it right now, I still like get goosebumps, like thinking about that scene. And it's just so terrifying. And again, it's one of those things as well where you think because it punches a hole in the ceiling, and you think like, oh no, it's gonna get away, and then they burn it, and you get like a little bit of relief, but you're like, wait a minute, we're 20 minutes into this movie, like there is some more shit that's gonna go down. But I absolutely love the first reveal of the creature in that, and I love it because one, like it sets you up for something. But then like you get that exposition scene from Wilford Brimley about how it attacks the cells and how it's becoming this or that, and you like you quickly realize that okay, even though that you've seen this and it's horrible and it's disgusting, that there's still more to come. And
It
it's
can
like,
get
oh God,
worse.
yeah, it's just like what's gonna happen next? And it just sets you up for so much to come further in the movie, and that's why I love it so much. Well done. Okay. So
The consensus is stunned silence.
that
Was such a good answer. There was just nowhere to go from there.
well, I did something right. Okay, here we go. I honestly I really don't want to take this, I don't want to do those things where we go scene by scene because this is one of those movies that everybody's that well, I'm not going to say everybody. If you haven't seen this movie, please go watch it. But most people, especially if you're listening to this, have seen this movie. And so like I know what we've touched on, like the beginning and the end, we've favorite scenes and kind of some of the best practical effects. So I think I feel like we're pretty safe bringing this one home. But before we do, if there's anything else that you guys want to discuss, something that sticks out to you, please feel free. This is your time, and we can do that.
Nobody does facial hair like Kurt Russell does
That's
facial
true.
hair.
Yes. That very 70s like into the 80s look, yes. I guess the only thing that I could really bring up, and this is only because I've been teaching myself to pay attention to this a little bit more. And of course after watching a whole documentary about it, which I do highly recommend, or noir. Keith David is probably one of the very few lead black men to survive, quote unquote, shall we say, to the end of a horror movie in the 80s. So I think that has some cultural significance, especially in horror, like I said, in the 80s. So, hey.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And again, like, yeah, we're big fans of Keith David here. And it's I say that, but and then like as soon as you were saying, he's one of the few black men to like survive a horror film, like it instantly like put it in my head, like They Live, obviously another John Carpenter film, and I cannot remember. It's been years since I've actually seen that one. Does he survive that one?
He thought he did, but unfortunately, no, he gets shot.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just at the end, but he gets almost there. Almost.
Also, spoilers for They Live. No,
Sorry. So sorry.
I'm the one that brought it up. I'm the one that brought it up. So that's my own fault.
As several of my dear friends would say, spoilers for a movie that's decades old.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, we got a whole new generation that's discovering horror, so
This is true. Welcome.
yes.
Come on
They're
in.
not listening to us, our middle-aged asses.
You'd be
You kidding me?
surprised. You'd be surprised, but yeah.
Booms. We're
It's
like
all right.
grandparents.
I'm the mediate. Remember, I'm the in-between.
Ah, yes.
Connecting the generations. You're welcome, yes.
Exactly.
We're just old millennials just sitting over here just being shitty and pissed off. Oh, wait,
Well,
that's
not,
just me.
I was about to say, not this time. This time I'm very happy to talk about what we're talking about. All right. Well, I think that we've pretty much nailed it. I really don't have any final thoughts or anything like that. So we can get into ratings, and we will start with our guest first. So as always, we rate on a scale of 1 to 5 on this show. Nothing special or, but it is interesting. It's very interesting. So out of a scale of 1 to 5, Dice, what are you giving The Thing? And I think you've already kind of tipped your hat, but we can
Yeah,
remind the
a little
listeners.
bit. Jumped the gun on that one. But out of 5, I would say I watched it again not too long ago during snowy season. Of course, it's snowing right now, as a matter of fact. So, timing. But I would say that almost like what you had said earlier, watching it when you're a bit older, I think you can appreciate a lot more than you would have as a kid. So, with all the different layers, all the different rewatchability paths you can go on with it, I think I'll still hold it at a very firm 4 out of 5. It's maybe not 100% my taste in horror. As I said, I have very strange taste in the horror genre, but I still recognize how very well made it was all the way around.
Awesome. Awesome. Now that's very, very respectable. I like it. All right, Gabby, what about you on a scale of 1 to 5? Where are you coming down on The Thing?
3.5.
Oh, okay.
No. I lie. 4.
Okay.
Respect.
I'll take
I
it.
mean, yeah, I mean, 4 out of 5. It's a fucking monster movie. But it's also Kurt Russell, it's also Keith David. It is really, really, really good. But the fact that I have only ever, I mean, I'm old. I've been watching horror movies for 30 some odd years, and the fact that something like this, I've only ever watched the whole way through maybe a couple times. I can't give it a perfect 5 out of 5. It's not rewatchable for me. It is
Okay.
kind of now after our discussion, but yeah.
All right. Well, hey,
It's not my Teddy Roosevelt, that's all I'm saying.
okay. No, Billy Roosevelt, but it is still good. And
Who's Billy Roosevelt?
I don't know, I just made it up.
I love
That was
that.
my attempt at a horrendous joke, which is scarier than this movie. Okay,
Just to make all the
but
listeners go, eh?
yeah, exactly. Cut it, cut
Yeah,
it,
I
cut
like
it.
it.
That joke will never see the light of day. Okay. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm just slightly higher than you. Slightly. You guys are really high on the film. So, but I am a little bit higher on this. There is not a lot that this does wrong for me. Yes. This is the Carpenter. This is Carpenter at the height of the Carpenter. I love the effects. I love the feelings of isolation. I love that you can watch this movie and just feel cold while watching it. I think the environment is phenomenal in
You're
this. I think
full
the
of time.
performances are phenomenal. I think the facial hair is phenomenal.
10 out of 10.
The one thing that I would ding this movie, and so it's a 4.5 out of 5 for me. And the one ding that I have for the movie is the ending. Not the very end, because I love that tension-filled standoff between our two main characters, but just how quickly that this thing wraps up. It seems to like take its time, like all the way through. And then Kurt Russell is just like, fuck you too, and throws the dynamite at it, and he blows it up, and that's it. Where, and we've shown how difficult this thing is to deal with this entire movie. And you're kind of like, well, at least I was like, wait, that's it. So that's my one ding for the film, is how just the kind of the before ending and how they do away with most of the things. So that's it for me. But like everything else about this movie, I absolutely adore, and I can rewatch this. And now that like Dice has kind of brought up some new things to watch out for, I'm honestly interested to check it out again and see like if there's anything else that I'm missing.
Pausing, going frame by frame.
Yep. Oh, there's the finger. No, okay. So that is it. We made it through the thing. We survived the cold, and we came out on the other side. Dice, one more
Am
time.
freezing.
She's got a blanket around.
She's
Bless
got
you.
her, for the listeners out there, she's like wrapped up in a blanket right now. That's
Doing the
awesome.
burrito,
Yeah.
yes.
One more time before we get out of here, we do want to say thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
And
Oh my God, I love you, friend.
yes,
Likewise, of course.
I'm glad that we were finally able to make this happen. And one more time, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Certainly. It's yeah, well, you can find me pretty much everywhere, to be quite honest. It's a bit of a problem. But by my name, Dice Rowland, of course. Or some variation of like the Dice be rolling, because I thought it was clever at the time, and that was about 10 years ago. But I have a pretty, I would like to think, standout icon, the skull with the splat and everything. Just look for that. And wherever sarcasm, snark, and twisted sense of humor may be found, but primarily on YouTube, of course, where I like to be an absolute horror nerd.
Absolutely. And guys, like I said, all those links will be right down in the descriptions. You owe it to yourself to check out the icon, Dice Rowland. Please go check out what they're doing. It's always, again, it's
Dice's
always
the
entertaining.
Beyonce of horror YouTube.
Oh God, I can't dance.
Iconic.
Icon. Yep.
I can't either, but I do it all the time. It's okay.
You just dance to be happy. That's what matters.
A little Buffalo Bill in the bedroom never hurt anybody.
What you thought? Okay.
Now that everyone's uncomfortable, thank you.
Yeah, hopefully no one heard that. I said that kind of under my breath. All right.
No, we definitely heard you, booms.
I can read lips.
And it was awesome.
All right. To avoid any more boomer shenanigans, we are going to get out of here. If you would like to follow us, because we love to interact with our listeners, you could do so on Twitter or Instagram at Woods Podcast One, because you've already found the show and we thank you for listening. And you can find us on Facebook and the Slasher app. Just download the Slasher app or search for us on Facebook. You can search either one at Podcast in the Woods. We also have a Gmail account where you can email the show and tell us what you think about what we're doing and suggest future episodes. That is podcastinthewoods1@gmail.com. And if you would like to help us out, you can do so by wherever you listen to your podcast. Just leave us a 5-star rating and review if you enjoy this. And we know that you do because Dice is here. So leave us a 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. It helps us out. We thank you. We love you guys. We love our listeners. Nowhere to go from here. So that is it for us tonight. Until next time, stay scary.